Laudato Jesus Christus. This is the English program of Vatican Radio.
Hello and welcome to this special edition of our English feature program. I'm Philippa Hitchin. Coming up today, we have full coverage of the third and final day of Pope Benedict's pastoral visit to the Czech Republic. Our own correspondent in Prague, Linda Bordoni, reports on an ecumenical encounter and a meeting with intellectuals on Sunday, plus Monday's Mass marking the feast of Saint Wenceslas. The Jesuit provincial speaks of the hopes of young people in the Czech Republic, and papal spokesman Father Federico Lombardi looks back at some of the other highlights of this journey. On Monday, Pope Benedict celebrated Mass with thousands of young people gathered in a field some 35 kilometres outside Prague, not far from the spot where the patron saint of the Czech Republic, Saint Wenceslas, was martyred in the middle of the 10th century. The remains of the saint are housed inside a church there in the town of Stara Boleslav, which the Pope visited briefly, stopping to pray at the tomb in the crypt, before moving on to the open-air site where the young people were eagerly awaiting him. Linda Bordoni has been travelling with the Pope for this three-day pastoral visit. She tells us all about Monday's activities.
The Mass celebrated by Pope Benedict today, on the feast day of Saint Wenceslas, a date the Czech people religiously observe, setting it aside as a national holiday, was widely expected to be a major highlight of the trip. Yes, it's also the day the Czechs celebrate statehood, but there's no doubt about it, Saint Wenceslas is the undisputed star of the firmament. And it was to him Pope Benedict dedicated the first words of his homily, saying, "This great saint, whom you call the eternal prince of the Czechs, invites us always to follow Christ faithfully." To the some 45,000 faithful gathered in a large open space close to the shrine of Saint Wenceslas, where the 10th century saint was martyred at the gate to his church in Stara Boleslav, Pope Benedict said, "Sadness and unfulfillment are the sentiments that prevail in those who denied and continue to deny God, and in consequence have no respect for man."
Chi ha negato e continua a negare Dio e di conseguenza non rispetta l'uomo sembra avere vita facile e conseguire un successo materiale.
Only those, he continued, who maintain in their hearts a holy fear of God can also put trust in man and spend their lives building a more just and fraternal world.
Solo chi conserva nel cuore il santo timore di Dio ha fiducia anche nell'uomo e spende la sua esistenza per costruire un mondo più giusto e fraterno.
And throughout his homily, the Pope referred to the figure of the Czech's beloved patron saint, whom, he said, had the courage to prefer the kingdom of heaven to the enticement of worldly power. And references to the life and to the martyrdom of this young prince, who remained faithful to the gospel teachings, provided the input for one of the main themes of this trip, the Pope's concern that Europe's Christian roots are weakening amid growing consumerism and moral relativism.
Ma ci chiediamo, ai nostri giorni, la santità è ancora attuale? O non è piuttosto un tema poco attraente ed importante?
Do we not place more value today, the Pope said, on worldly success and glory? Yet how long does earthly success last, he continued, and what value does it have?
Non si ricercano oggi più il successo e la gloria degli uomini? Quanto dura però e quanto vale il successo terreno?
And the Pope invited the faithful to undertake the narrow path of holiness. It is not enough to appear good and honest, he observed. One must truly be so. And he pointed out that this is hard language, difficult to accept and to put into practice. But the testimony of saints, he said, assures us that it is possible. And to the young people gathered at the Mass, also to be there for his special message to them at the end of this Czech journey, Pope Benedict said, "Thank you. Thank you for your presence, which gives me a sense of enthusiasm and generosity so characteristic of youth."
Grazie per questa vostra presenza che mi fa sentire l'entusiasmo e la generosità che sono propri della giovinezza. Con voi anche il Papa si sente giovane.
Being with you, he said, makes the Pope feel young. And yet again, he warned against present-day consumerist society that often exploits the aspirations of young people in false and alienating ways. And he called on them to consider the divine call to raise Christian families, which society needs so badly. He also turned to those who feel a vocation for the priesthood, saying the Church in every country, including this one, needs many holy priests and also persons consecrated to the service of Christ, hope of the world.
La speranza, questa parola su cui torno spesso, si coniuga proprio con la giovinezza. Voi, cari giovani, siete la speranza della Chiesa.
Hope, he said, is a world that sits well with youth. You, my dear young people, are the hope of the Church. And then he invited them to join him again in Madrid for the 2011 World Youth Day.
Molti di più potrete venire a Madrid nell'agosto 2011.
Before setting off for Prague after the encounter, the young people presented Pope Benedict with two gifts. The first of them, a book of photographs illustrating the life of young Christians in the Czech Republic. The other, a cheque resulting from a collection organized to contribute to the Pope's solidarity projects for Africa. With Pope Benedict in the Czech Republic, I'm Linda Bordoni.
Thanks to Linda for that report on the Mass at Stará Boleslav and the Pope's message to young people in the Czech Republic. Twenty years on from the fall of the Berlin Wall and the end of communism across Eastern Europe, Pope Benedict's words to those young men and women provide a vital message of hope and encouragement, despite the social and economic difficulties many of them now face. Father František Hilmar is the Jesuit provincial in the region. He told my colleague Veronica Scaresbrick how the Church has changed over these past two decades and what impact he hopes the Pope's visit will have.
Personally, I feel a deep gratitude for the last 20 years of freedom of, let's say, political and, let's say, religious freedom. It's very interesting to see how much has been done in the last 20 years. But on the other hand, that's how much more he would like to do, and which was not possible. So there is also kind of a tension. And there is also this feeling that even the, let's say, the present situation of our society or of our church is not as good as we would like. But on the other hand, I think we should be really grateful. In a sense, we should be more happy with what we have. And as far as the young people are concerned, basically after 20 years, they don't really know much about the communist regime. And basically, most of them, they live happily in the present, and they focus more on present problems. So in a sense, we should be grateful for what happened 20 years ago. And that experience was kind of a spiritual experience as well, because it was in our country, it was linked or related with the canonization of St. Agnes of Bohemia. So especially for Christians, for Catholics, it was a really powerful experience. It was not just a merely political change. It was really, it had a strong spiritual or Christian aspect. So we should really live in present. So in a sense, be grateful for what happened 20 years ago, but on the other hand, to look into the future and try and live in reality and solve our problem now.
You yourself are a Jesuit, an order traditionally present in Czech society. What is the focus of the work of your order at this particular moment in history?
Yes, we have several focuses. So we are multi-focused. We are not so many. The Jesuits, about 60 Jesuits, but we go in several directions. Several Jesuits work at, let's say, at the university level. We have professors of theology, of spirituality, of philosophy. We also do quite extensive pastoral work in the academic milieu with university students. We also, last year, we also made a step into primary and secondary education. So this is exactly after 20 years of fall of the communism. We made the first step into this traditional Jesuit area of interest. We founded a small school for children who need special assistance for various reasons, social, family, and they are disadvantaged. And it's called a nativity school, a very interesting, small, but very promising project. Then we traditionally work in the area of spirituality. So we give spiritual exercises and spiritual direction. Several Jesuits also keep in touch with media. They work in media. And in general, we would like to remain in contact with the academic world, with the world of culture, especially in the field of history and history of art, because for many people, this is the privileged way to Christianity, to religion, to the church, to Christian faith, and so on. And we also obviously do, let's say, the basic pastoral work. We try to preach as well as possible, and we also, you know, offer confession, and it seems that people appreciate this service.
What kind of coverage is the secular press giving of Pope Benedict's visit so far?
Coverage, I would say it's nothing extraordinary, but there is a coverage, and it's kind of a kind reception. It's rather peaceful. The media give basic information, as I spoke about lack of real, let's say, knowledge or real orientation of many people in the area of religion, of Catholic Church and Christianity. So they give basic information. I would say that many journalists, they don't go too deep. You know, one cannot expect too deep reflections. I would say it would be kind of a peaceful visit during which the unresolved issues, let's say, for instance, in the relation between the state and the Catholic Church in the Czech Republic, are not going to be touched. This visit will create a friendly atmosphere in which it will be possible in the future to touch more sensitive issues.
Is there any particular area you have personal hopes for then?
This visit, it will surely be an occasion, let's say, to pause, you know, to think, to reflect for many people that the presence of the Pope Benedict will animate or inspire us or the Catholics in the Czech Republic. And let's say it will be an invitation, say, to discover the inner power of Christian faith, you know, the awareness of the treasure that we have in our faith, and will be invited to go back to the roots, to rediscover the joy of the faith and the joy of belonging to the worldwide community of the Catholic Church.
Thanks there to the Jesuit provincial in the Czech Republic, Father František Hilmar, talking to Veronika Scaresbrick. Following the Mass in Stará Boleslav on Monday, Pope Benedict had lunch with all the bishops of the Czech Republic and then travelled to the airport in Prague, where he boarded a plane headed back to Rome. Accompanying him with the other members of the papal entourage was his spokesman and Director General of Vatican Radio, Father Federico Lombardi. At the end of the second day of this journey, Father Lombardi found time to sit down with Linda Bordoni and talk about the Pope's message to young Czechs, as well as looking back at some of the highlights of this short but significant papal journey.
He has said many times that the young people are the hope of the Church and of the humanity. This is clear, the mankind, this is clear. And also, I know that the pastoral of the young people in the Czech Republic, in the Czech Church, is very important and creative. This is a strategic point also for every land, obviously. But in particular, in the Czech Republic, for the Church, the work with the young people is fundamental. And then to collaborate, to encourage the young people here to look to the future with enthusiasm and to be engaged in a great hope for building the society in love. This is surely a message that the Pope will give and that will be very well accepted by the Czech young people.
One more thing. You said the Pope is well and he's happy. In looking back these past 2 days, what would you say is the event he enjoyed most?
Yes, he is a priest, fundamentally. And then I think that the Eucharist of the Sunday morning was for him a very central moment. And he enjoyed very much the way in which the people participated in the Eucharist, with profound attention. They were also still in many times. They expressed that they understood the spiritual meaning of what was happening, and I think this was the most high point. And also this evening I saw in the meeting with the academic world, as the not only the academic authorities but also the young people that were present, they were clutching with big enthusiasm at the end of his speech, and he was really happy because he remains always a university professor also. And I think it was his world, and he was very at ease in this world, and I was happy that his words were well understood.
Thank you very much, Father Lombardi.
Looking back to the events of Sunday afternoon, as you heard there, Pope Benedict held an important meeting with intellectuals, university professors and students in the Grand Vladislav Hall of Prague Castle, where he underlined the vital role of academia in upholding a nation's cultural and spiritual values. Charles Collins now takes a closer look at what the Pope had to say.
Pope Benedict is no stranger to the academic world, and during meetings with university officials, it's easy to tell that the Holy Father was once a professor of theology. It was no different Sunday evening when the Pope returned to Prague Castle, this time to meet with rectors, professors, and students from the universities of the Czech Republic. The Pope said the proper autonomy of any educational institution finds meaning in its accountability to the authority of truth. He warned that in today's world, the unity of all truth is often obscured.
The idea of an integrated education based on the unity of knowledge grounded in truth must be regained. It serves to counteract the tendency, so evident in contemporary society, towards a fragmentation of knowledge.
The Holy Father also once again warned of the dangers of relativism. He said utilitarianism and fashionable but intellectually deficient arguments are not good for society.
Our societies will not become more reasonable or tolerant or adaptable, but rather more brittle and less inclusive, and they will increasingly struggle to recognize what is true, noble, and good.
The Pope ended his lecture by encouraging academic officials to not only offer programs which encourage students to excel, but to also offer an experience of shared ideals and mutual support in what he called the great enterprise of learning. I'm Charles Collins.
Earlier on Sunday, Pope Benedict also met with leaders of the other Christian churches in the Czech Republic, stressing the need for all Christians to cooperate more closely and bear witness to their faith with confidence for the good of all European society. Linda Bordoni followed that meeting closely and afterwards talked to Charles Collins about its profound implications for the ecumenical movement in the region today.
Dear Cardinals, Your Excellencies, brothers and sisters in Christ, I am grateful to Almighty God for the opportunity to meet with you who are here representing the various Christian communities of this land.
The Pope met with members of the Ecumenical Council of Churches in the Czech Republic. This is a particularly poignant event as historically Czech lands were the cradle of Protestantism. The Czech priest and academic Jan Hus, who was also rector of the city's Charles University, is known as the morning star of the Protestant Reformation. He condemned corruption in the church and was a key contributor to the Protestant movement, as well as being a major influence on Martin Luther himself some 100 years later. In 1415, Hus was condemned by a general council of the church and burned at the stake as a heretic. And a historian has told me that the Hussite movement he spawned turned Prague and all of Bohemia into a real centre of anti-Catholic activity. However, that enmity is long past and reconciliation has been ongoing for decades. In 1990, Pope John Paul II organised an important symposium dedicated to Jan Hus, during which apologies were made and friction was ironed out. But Charles, I'd like to say something about the Pope's discourse this afternoon to the ecumenical representatives.
What did he say?
Well, picking up on the theme he has highlighted constantly since his arrival here yesterday, he recalled the collapse of the communist regime, saying that in these past 20 years, Christians have been able to join together with others of goodwill in helping to rebuild a just political order. But, he said, society must beware of a growing tendency today to separate the gospel from intellectual and public life. In a nutshell, he invited Christians to join forces and work strenuously towards unity. He said that we should engage in a mutual self-critique of modernity and of modern Christianity. And touching on another theme, that is, it's really a red ribbon running through this journey, Pope Benedict highlighted Europe's Christian roots, saying we must not forget that it is thanks to the Christian faith that in the old continent the fundamental principles of justice and freedom were able to affirm themselves. So Christians, he said, must have the courage to proclaim the richness of Christian faith for the good of the whole of society.
Now, this is Charles? Interesting because this meeting did point out a fact that in many ways Christians are together and being a minority in the Czech Republic. This has been a running theme that the Czech Republic is one of the most atheistic countries in Europe. But before the trip, Czech church leaders said even unbelievers are going to give the Pope a chance. Has that been the case?
Well, Charles, when I got here 2 days before the Pope's arrival, I was surprised to see the indifference of the people who didn't seem to care he was coming at all. In fact, some told me they were even irritated and worried that his presence in the city would create logistical traffic problems and so on. But since yesterday, things do appear to be changing. First of all, the press has completely changed its tone. Contrary to yesterday and Friday, front page articles are appearing on the daily newspapers, and journalists
journalists are taking the trouble to really listen to what the Pope has to say rather than just relate a series of prejudices and make superficial comments. I think the turning point came yesterday morning when the Czechs took stock of the warmth and of the humanity with which he spoke to the children and families in the Church of Our Lady of Victory. And I think this warmth has really seemed to warm everyone else up as well.
Thanks there to Linda Bordoni, who's been keeping us up to date with all of the Pope's activities during this 3-day pastoral visit to the Czech Republic. And finally, we take a look back now at the extreme hardships faced by the church during the long years of communist oppression in the Czech Republic. Happily, just a distant memory or even a page in the history books for so many of the people the Pope has been meeting on this pastoral journey. But for the older people, those memories remain etched in their minds as they risked lengthy jail sentences or worse, worshipping in the so-called silent or underground church, seeking to keep the Christian faith alive under the atheist regime. Today, Father Jan Kofron is secretary to Bishop Mali in Prague, but in the 1980s he was secretly ordained to the underground church, and he recalls how this invisible community struggled to remain faithful to the teachings of the church.
At the very beginning, we were a community of prayer and liturgy, and later also of theological studies, because we have understood that we ourselves must be responsible for the church. Because, of course, in churches there was a sort of theater of communists making impression for foreigners that there is a sort of liberty, so that there were liturgies, there were masses. Anyway, that's what was all what was allowed. Any father gathering, courses, lectures, and so on were practically prohibited, were not possible. And our aim was to live our Christianity in authentic, most authentic way. I have mentioned the theological studies. We could have very good professors, because all those who spent first in the 50s and 60s, many years in jails, were also not allowed to work openly, and thus we had them. Yes, we had lectures with them. Of course, the liturgy could not be celebrated with liturgical vestments. For security, we also used a bottle of wine bought somewhere in a shop, and bread, simple bread, which was in the families, in case that the door would be opened and the secret police would enter, they would find simply a piece of bread on the table, and glass of wine or something like that, or not glass, but a simple pottery. It was a pottery material. We were celebrating the liturgy in the apartments, circulating from one family to another.
Thanks there to Father Jan Kofron, secretary to Bishop Mali in Prague. And that's all from me, Philippa Hitchin, and from all of us here at the English programme for today. You're listening to Vatican Radio. Laudato Jesus Christus.